The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Every single Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Central Time, right here in Birmingham, Alabama, wherever you're listening all over the world. It's the UAB Director's Chair. He is the Athletic Director, Mark Ingram, of your UAB Blazers. Are you getting a little itchy? Are you getting a little... We're in college football month, man. I mean, it starts this month, baby. I mean, it's close. How you feeling?
I'm feeling excellent. Thank you. How you feeling?
I cannot wait. And it seems like it's been an incredibly long off season. Having made that huge coaching change and bringing Trent Dilfer in this year, what's it been like? What's the off season been like for you? Obviously, you've got two huge, huge things going on with your athletic department. Of course, you got Trent Dilfer. Everyone knows who he is, and I think it was the best hire of all coaches during the offseason, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. And then, of course, you're going into the AAC, so this is just an incredibly exciting time for the UAB Blazers.
Yeah, it really is. And so offseason has been terrific. I mean, kids are performing great in the classroom. Everybody's healthy. Team seems to be very happy with the direction of things. You can, you know, when kids aren't happy, they'll tell you. And it seems to be going really well. I've been out to practice several times. Guys are flying around. They look great. You know, people ask, you know, how are we going to be? I mean, you know, I'm sometimes too honest here, which is, well, we have a completely new staff. We have a completely new system. We have 45 new players, and we're in a new conference, and we have the toughest schedule we've ever had, with three road games against three conference champions, one of whom was also the national champion. We've got a mountain to climb, but we look great. But it's easier to look great against air, right? It's easy to look great against yourself. And so until we get on the field, really, it's hard to honestly predict what I think we can be or can't be. But we look really athletic. We look very skilled. We lost a lot of offensive linemen, but we replaced them with a lot of people who are very talented. They just have not played together, and that's that unit is probably more than any. There's a gelling that happens in that group that's it's hard to describe, but it just is a thing that happens. And so, you know, the faster they can come together, the better we're going to be. That's probably the area where we, again, not worried about skill or talent. It's just about them as a unit working together. So we've got Jacob Zeno, who was our backup quarterback last year, and he started a couple of games. He has never worked as the starter, you know, anywhere that he's been. He started his career at Baylor and came here. And so now that he's been getting the number one reps for all of spring and kind of operating as the starter all summer, you know, even in just workouts and weight room and stuff, he's a different guy. And that should prove to be really positive for him. And we've added just a lot of talented skill position players and then return a lot of great players too. Fish McWilliams on defense, Jackson Bratton also on defense. These guys were really solid players for us, really talented guys, not to mention, you know, some others. So I'm excited about what we're going to have and can't wait to get going.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, too. We're talking to, of course, the UAB Athletic Director. He's Mark Ingram, and we're so grateful to have him on every single week here for the UAB Director's Chair. You can hear at 11 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday, at least five times a week. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast, a lot of people go back and listen to all of our previous podcasts. We've actually dropped some breaking news on this show when it comes to the UAB Blazers. So make sure you continue to listen and go check out all of our previous episodes. I think it's really interesting when you go in. Is there a sense of anxiety because there's so much to be expected from the football program with the hiring and with the turnover, or is there a little bit of a relief knowing that you do have some time to make things right if in fact they don't go as well as you like? Or what's your narrative going into a football season like this, not only with a brand new coach and of course a lot is expected of him, but also going into a brand new conference when you know you're being picked 12th and 13th, which I know you love. You can pick us last all day long. Prove you wrong, but right. where are you as an athletic director?
No, there's never any relief. There's no opportunity to relax in terms of your expectations. I think people used to give coaches, you know, people say, hey, this person's going to need 3 or 4 years to build a program. That's long gone. People expect you to improve year one. You got to be better year one. To me, success, again, giving all the factors, the changes and the newness of what we're dealing with. If we can become bowl eligible again, and then, you know, of course, I always want to win our bowl game, but being bowl eligible is our number one goal. And then I want us to go compete for a conference championship. But for this year, given all the transition and what our schedule looks like, I'd love to get us to six or more wins, and I'd consider that a success.
All right, email here from Ted down in the South Side. It's not your Ted. It's a different Ted. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. He wants to know the over-under on wins that are supposed to be happening this year for the UAB Blazers. You talked about six or seven wins. I know, obviously, you'd like to have more than that, but I guess his question was, how much rope does a guy like Trent Dilfer have? Is it pretty much open-ended at this point?
No, it's the same as anybody. I mean, I'm going to be you know, I'm going to give everybody every opportunity to succeed in our coaching staff, anybody, no matter what the sport is. So you've got to be realistic. You've got to, you know the landscape of what you're competing against. And again, everything is so new for us. Time will tell when we get on the field what our talent level is compared to our peers when they compete against each other. You know, you think you can watch two teams play and you can compare that. Well, you can compare a lot of things, but, you know, I know TCU didn't feel like they were firing on all cylinders at the end of the season last year, but they looked pretty darn good in the middle to the, you know, end of the regular season. And then when they played in the national title game against Georgia, which in theory was the top two teams, it didn't really look like the top two teams. Now, did they have injuries or whatever? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But leading up to that, you've got a whole committee of people with the College Football Playoff Committee who chose four teams as the top four, and they were one of those top four. And when it came down to it, Georgia ran away with that game. So they were. My point is just that they were dramatically different when they went head to head than what they looked like sort of on paper and from, you know, measuring the eyeball test. So I'm just not a guy that likes to speculate about what, you know, how good we are or aren't. And heck, we may go undefeated. I don't know. But we're just not going to know that until we get out there and compete against our true peers.
All right. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You're listening, of course, to the wonderful UAB Director's Chair. The show goes live every single week in here, 5 days a week here, 11 o'clock Central Time. We take your emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Stacy near Big Bone Lick State Park up in Kentucky. I've drive by there every time I go to
Me
Cincinnati.
Too. I've you been do up too. There.
Every time I drive by that sign, I chuckle. I'm sorry. It's funny.
Yeah, it's just
big,
funny.
Big Bone Lick. She wants to know, what's the deal with Joe Webb and the boxing match on Saturday night? I just heard about this, and I can't believe, because I follow UAB sports, but Joe Webb, your quarterback, your former quarterback, is going to be boxing at Bartow Arena this Saturday night. Can you give us some details on it?
I'm so glad that all the way from Big Bone Lick State Park in Kentucky,
yes,
we have got this question. So Joe Spider Webb, who played football at UAB and then played many, many years in the NFL as a quarterback, has become a boxer. He has fought several amateur fights, and his first professional fight is Saturday night, this coming Saturday night. So let's see. Today is the 5th of August. Doors open at Bartow Arena at 6 o'clock. The first fight is at 7. I think Joe is the fifth fight, maybe the sixth fight of the night, but it is his professional debut right here in Bartow Arena. I so hope that your listeners come watch and support our guy, Joe. He is a great guy, and loves the Blazers, and I'm excited for him. I mean, he's won all of his amateur fights, and you know, he's excited to keep competing, and so I haven't seen him fight, but I'm going to be here Saturday night watching him. I can't wait.
I'll see you down there. How tall is he? 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, I bet he's definitely 6'4". Yeah. Joe's a tall guy with a long reach. And while he didn't train as a boxer, you know, as a football player, you got to think he's been training as an elite athlete for a long time. And so he's really strong, and he's got hands the size of a Volkswagen Beetle bug. And, I mean, He's got big old hands and a long reach. I know I don't want to be on the receiving end of this punch. And so I'm thrilled for the guy.
Yeah, I am too. He weighs 245. And the only thing probably working against him, but he's in such great shape because he just got released from the National Football League just 2 years ago. So it's not like he's lost anything, but he's 36 years of age.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wants to get in the ring. And I think it's funny because today, Eric Esch, you remember Butterbean? He turns 57 today and he's still boxing. So, you know, why not?
Butterbean.
Oh, Butterbean. Yeah. I ran into him a couple weeks ago. He's still Butterbean.
You ran into Butterbean?
I did. I used to hang out with Butterbean up at a place called Sud's Lounge up in Jasper.
You live here?
Yeah, he does. He's got a place up in Jasper. He sure does.
I gotta meet Butterbean.
Dude, you take Highway 78 to Jasper and you will run into his restaurant. He's got a restaurant up there. He still localizes the place and just a great guy. And just,
is he called Butterbeans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. How did I not know this?
King of the three rounder, man. I mean, he was kind of the UFC before the UFC came on, man. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's a great.
He really
guy.
Was.
But the age of 57, he is still fighting, man. He's still knocking people out. So why couldn't Joe do it at the age of 36?
Yeah, again, get away from that guy, right?
No doubt, he's a much friendlier man with a Bud Light in his hand than he is with a boxing with a boxing ring around him. All right, so every single week we get into some classic rock and. This week we're doing something, and I know you need some prep time, so I'm expecting the best list I've ever heard from you. I came up with your top four rock and roll movies. And again, you know, we kind of take it outside the lines on occasion, whatever fits your narrative. And you always have some honorable mentions. So I know I'm going to let you go ahead and do a couple of those first. I'm going to ask you for your best rock and roll movies. You're going to give me your first one. What are some of your honorable mentions here?
Yeah, I've got five honorable mentions.
Okay.
Again, in no particular order, you remember the old classic Heavy Metal? Heavy Metal came out, and it's pretty much a terrible movie. But
it was terrible.
Hard to not mention. And then I think there was a remake in 2000.
Great soundtrack, though.
Great soundtrack, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to mention those. That one. Another one that this is not my style, but was a huge hit and a true cult following, which is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
And we mentioned this, I think, when we were talking last week. And it's kind of where Meatloaf got his start. You know, mm-hmm. if you go back, Meatloaf is, and his whole career, to me, almost mimics that movie, like in terms of the theatrical, almost Broadway style stage presence. It's almost like Phantom of the Opera. You know, his show is kind of mysterious and theatric like that. And anyway, that's where I think it's
still on Broadway. I think they still do the Rocky Horror Picture Show play. And of course, around Halloween, man, that thing's being shown on screens everywhere. Go ahead. Continue.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. So here's one that was not really a documentary, but was a movie based on a book about Motley Crue called The Dirt. And it's not a very good movie either, but I love Motley Crue. And of course, you can't love that movie without loving the soundtrack if you love Motley Crue. And then here's two that you may not have thought of. One from the 90s called Airheads. Adam Sandler is in this movie and a great soundtrack where this little garage band takes over a radio station, a rock and roll radio station. And sort of holds people hostage, and all they want is their song played on the radio, which is kind of funny. But it's also kind of an old, I don't know, just a movie that I enjoyed watching when I was younger. And then here's one that's really going to blow you away. You ready?
Yeah.
Come on now. Flash Gordon.
No doubt. Flash Gordon. I can think of one famous band that had quite the hit with Flash Gordon.
Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about them again later. So that's my honorable mention list.
All right, I love it. Give me your first song, and that's quite the list there, so you must have four killers. Give me your first great rock and roll movie.
Okay. This is, well, let's just stay with Flash Gordon, and even though I know it is, again, it's not a documentary, but I think Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a more modern, you know, movie, it's awesome. I think it's a great movie. It's a great story about the band Queen and most specifically Freddie Mercury, but I think it's a great movie. And it just, when I watched it, I thought the producers and directors did a fantastic job. I was just so impressed by all the actors and how they portrayed the band, and just reminded me of all the songs from Queen that I love so much that in some cases I'd kind of not listened to in a long time or almost forgotten about. So anyway, that's my first one.
There Bohemian you go. Rhapsody. I'm going to go with one, and I'm guessing it's probably on your top four. Maybe it's not. And I know that normally I always think that it's going to be something in your top four, and it's not. And that's what I love about your list. But I'm going to go with the Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, Michael McKean movie, This Is Spinal Tap. It came out my senior year in high school. I'll never forget when it came out. The first time I ever heard the line, this is a piece called Lick My Love Pump. I still laugh when I hear that. I think it's hilarious. And of course, we still use the analogy of turn it up to 11. They're the only amplifier they ever had where it actually went up to 11 because 10 just wasn't loud enough. If you've never seen This Is Spinal Tap, it's the best mockumentary and rockumentary that you'll ever see. It took off of Song Remains the Same, of course, the Led Zeppelin documentary. But it's just an hilarious movie, and it's just such a spoof that it's still funny. And you know, that's one of those Jaws movies you try to play for your kids, and your kids just don't get it. But seeing that movie back in 1984, I'll never forget my senior year. I was in radio. I was the program director of WLHS Radio, my high school radio station, a little 10-watt station. I'd take caller number 9 on a Tuesday, and we wouldn't get the winner till Friday. That's how many listeners we had our radio station. But we all went out, and I took the staff out to This Is Spinal Tap. But I still remember that movie, and I still remember it as being one of my favorite rock and roll movies. It was fantastic. What's your number two?
Okay, number two, I'm going with Jack Black, School of Rock. Yes. Also relatively new, but a great movie. And, you know, Jack Black is a huge fan of rock music, but specifically kind of heavy metal. And it's a funny movie. It's a funny movie because, well, he's Jack Black, but it's a great movie and a lot of great music in there. And it's Led Zeppelin and it's AC/DC and a lot of really good things. And anyway, I can watch that movie again tonight. I love watching that movie.
It runs on TBS all the time. And yeah, I saw Rock. I'm gonna give you a little surprise here. I saw it for the first time about 2 weeks ago.
Isn't it good?
It is a fantastic movie. And what I love about it is you can watch it with the kids. And
watch it with your kids. Yeah, I was thinking it's clean. And it's there's nothing in it that my kids can't watch. And that's fun.
It is fantastic. And there's not too many movies where adults can actually, it's almost a Fred Flintstone kind of movie for me. It's one of those things where adults can really appreciate it and kids can watch it. You don't have to worry about covering up their eyeballs, particularly for a rock and roll movie. I give Jack Black all the credit in the world for doing a movie like that. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. My second one is another high school flick. We're going to Claremont High School, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Man, that movie. Now, while it wasn't really a rock and roll movie, I want to give you the artists that were on the soundtrack. Cheap Trick, Led Zeppelin, Jackson Browne, Somebody's Baby, one of my favorite shows and favorite songs he just played here last week. Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt, Sammy Hagar with the title track, which is the song I play here on Tony Curry Radio, Billy Squire, Stevie Nicks, The Go-Go's, Quarter Flash. Do you remember Quarter Flash?
I mean, this is an all-star list.
Jimmy Buffett was on it. Poco was on it. The Cars were on it. Tom Petty was on it. And a movie that has, again, probably one of the most paused scenes in all of moviedom, if you will, in the history of movies with Phoebe Cates, had Judge Reinhold in it, had Jennifer Jason Leigh in it, Sean Penn was in it, Nicolas Cage was in it, Anthony Edwards is in it. It's just a great, great movie. And it's funny because when I first saw the movie, I just watched it just to hear the music in it. And of course, I had to go out and buy the soundtrack. It was a double album set. And really, there's some parts in it that are kind of depressing in the movie, and I'm not going to give those away. But man, Spicoli, I mean, Professor Hand, it's just a great movie, and it's got such a killer soundtrack to it. And you think sometimes artists will write songs, and they don't want to put them on their own albums because they don't think the songs are very good, and they give them away to soundtracks. In this particular case, you had writers like Somebody's Baby was written for that movie, and it was one of Jackson Browne's biggest hits, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, another huge song for Sammy Hagar. You had hit after hit on that album. I could listen front and back, two A's and two B's on both sides of that. But I'm going to go with Fast Times at Ridgemont High as my second great rock and roll movie. You've got two more to go. What's your third one?
I've got two more to go. I tell you, I love the Cars. I love the sound of the Cars. You mentioned the Cars and that in that list. And there's not anybody you mentioned that I don't like, but I may pull out some Cars tunes today.
Love them. Absolutely love them.
Love them. Okay. So, next, and this is one of my all time favorite movies, is a movie called Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's some guys like Zach Wilde who plays guitar for the band called Steel Dragon. That's the name of the band, in the movie. And they're sort of a band that he idolizes, and then they need a lead singer, and he plays in a cover band that's like a tribute band to this band called Steel Dragon. And they hear about him online or through some friends or something. They need a singer, and they, you know, make his dream come true, which is to become the lead singer of his, you know, the band that he just worships and idolizes. And it's sort of about that story and how that happens. But the music from the bands that they created, Steel Dragon, for the movie, for the soundtrack, there's some great songs in there, and we play some at our football games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're that good. And I love that movie. Maybe it's my own personal fantasy. I wish that would happen to me tomorrow. I'll wake up and I'll have beautiful, long, flowing hair down to my shoulders, and I'll be able to sing beautifully, and I can, you know, join Van Halen, and that'll work out. That's what I need. Motley Crue will want me to be their singer.
Let me ask you a question, and I've always wanted to ask you this, and I'm going to ask you on the show. Would you make a deal with the devil to be the lead singer of a heavy metal band?
You don't even know you're foreshadowing it. You don't even know. You don't even know.
I'm going
to surprise you.
It's like
I set you up.
No, I didn't even know. I don't know where you're going with this, but
I'll tell you where I'm going with this in my next pick. You give me your next pick.
Okay. I'm going to go with another movie that's just got a killer soundtrack. And the only reason I consider it a rock movie, because the only reason I went to see this movie is because of the soundtrack. This is the first movie that Stephen King ever wrote. It's the first and only movie that Stephen King ever directed. And he said after he directed it, he will never direct a movie again. He said it was a horrible process. It was not a good movie. It was a very good B movie. If it comes on TV, I'm watching. It's just for the soundtrack. And it was the first movie where they used one band for every song on the soundtrack. And that band was AC/DC. A movie from 1986 called Maximum Overdrive. If you made that movie now, you really could make it really, really good. But it was so campy. It was so bad. And basically a meteorite comes into our atmosphere, and every piece of machinery, anything with an engine that needed gasoline, could run by itself. So you had semi trucks, you had airplanes flying wherever they wanted. You had lawnmowers running over small children. You had Coca-Cola, you had pop machines shooting pops out at high school baseball games. It was fantastic. You had remote control cars trying to run up grandma's legs. It was a fantastic premise, but the movie sucked. It was horrible. Emilio Estevez was in it. It was a terrible, terrible movie. And certainly the computer animation on it was terrible. There was a semi truck in the movie that had a big clown face on it. It looked like something from Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus Truck or something. And basically it just made circles around this gas station and held hostage these people who could not get out of this gas station. And it would make these people come out and actually pump gas into its tank so it could continue to hold them hostage. The premise behind the movie was terrible. It was not one of Stephen King's best movies, but it was his only one he ever directed. He said, I will never do that again. But it is like the soundtrack, man, has got You Shook Me All Night Long, Back in Black. It's got a song called DT in it. It's got so many great AC/DC songs in it. Shake Your Foundation, Sink the Pink. There's some great songs on that soundtrack. So I'm going with Maximum Overdrive. And since I have foreshadowed you, I cannot wait to hear what your fourth one is.
Do you not know?
I don't.
Oh, well, this is special. So in the movie with Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm at?
I don't.
He and Steve Vai, great legendary guitarist Steve Vai, sell their soul to the devil to be great guitarists. They go to a crossroads in Mississippi where they meet the devil, and the devil, in exchange for their soul, makes them great blues guitarists. And they have these guitar, Steve Vai has already done it. And Ralph Macchio goes into this church where Steve Vai is playing guitar in this old kind of abandoned church. And they have this head-to-head, you know, competition. Steve Vai plays all the guitar parts in the movie. I know Ralph Macchio wishes he could play it, but the movie is called Crossroads. And it's an awesome movie, but especially anybody that likes guitar, as I do, it is fantastic because Steve Vai, in his prime, is at his best in this movie.
That is a story. That is a story of Robert Johnson.
Yes,
Robert Johnson, the great blues artist, who actually they said he made a deal with the devil. He was a lousy guitar player. He wanted to play better, and he sat down, and because he went from playing lousy one night to playing unbelievable guitar, and of course his life was very, very short. But I'd never heard of that movie. I need to check that out. I mean, I'm not a huge movie guy. I don't go see a lot of movies, so I need
this
to.
This is old. This is like 80s.
Okay,
got to be late 80s. I don't think it was in the 90s. I don't know the year, but that's the movie called Crossroads with Ralph Macchio. It's like his only other movie until Cobra Kai, the series.
I will have to go check. So it was before Karate Kid?
No, it was after.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back. Okay, thank you. I'm writing that down, and I'll bet you that's available on Netflix. I'm going to go ahead and I'll watch that movie tonight so I can talk about it with you next week. I'm going to go back to a movie that was 52 years ago. I was told when I got into radio, I was only 5 years old when this movie came out, but I was told you must see this movie as a radio disc jockey. And I hadn't seen it until about 3 years ago. And now I understand it was the first movie that Clint Eastwood ever directed. I talked about it briefly last week. It's a movie called Play Misty For Me. It's about a guy named Dave Garvey, who works for KRML, in, Carmel by the Sea, California. I don't even know if that's a real city or not. But he was the nighttime disc jockey, and every single night, and this is so true, every single night this young lady would call up and she'd go, "Hey, Dave, will you please play Misty for me?" Which, of course, is an old jazz standard from the 40s and 50s. And, of course, he'd never play it. A lot of guys do that, but she would call every single night, and she would play Misty for me. And so finally one night he plays the song, and you know what happens with late-night disc jockeys and their groupies. He meets her up. For a couple of drinks and dinner. And next thing you know, they have a relationship. And then for the rest of the movie, she tries to kill him. She is played by Jessica Walter, who has been in a ton of movies. I don't know if you recognize her name, but if you saw her face, you've seen her a million times. Donna Mills, the beautiful blonde, she's actually in the movie. She plays Clint Eastwood's girlfriend in the movie. And pretty much for 2 hours, she stalks him, and when he starts to ghost her and blows her off because he's just used her, she starts stalking him, man, and she's showing up at his house. She's trying to kill him. She tries to stab him in the face. It just gets outright ugly. If you're a radio disc jockey, and I know you've got radio in your family, you need to watch it. Just one. It's a good movie. It really is. It's a great movie, and it's super, super campy. But Play Misty for Me from 1971. It will bring back. If you've ever been a disc jockey and you ever had that conversation with the woman on the phone, and there's not a radio personality out there that hasn't. If you say you haven't, you're lying. But if you've listened to this phone call, you're like, oh, it will give you the creeps. It will make your skin crawl, man. But it's called Play Misty. I tell you what, you go watch Play Misty for me. I'll watch Crossroads. We'll talk about it next week. How's that?
Okay.
It's a fantastic movie. Hey, great stuff. UABSports.com, UABSports.com. Single tickets, single game tickets are now for sale. By the way, how are ticket sales going? I know you're saying they're going to be great, but I would assume they're just fantastic.
Yeah, doing really well. And in fact, we've got a fan event on Saturday at our practice facility. It's a free event. Come out, meet the team, meet the coaches. It's great for your kids. We're going to have games and inflatables and that kind of thing.
What time?
2 to 4 p.m. Okay. At the football practice facility. And then hang around and go watch good old Joe Webb in his boxing debut that night. It'll be a great Saturday for you.
I'll see you down there, down at Bartow on Saturday. Then I'm bringing my boy down. We're going to watch some boxing.
All right. All right.
Sounds good. Tickets are only $25, by the way, too, if you don't care where you sit. $25 to watch a full night of boxing and see Joe Webb get after it would be fantastic. Hey, as always, man, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you. I can't wait to talk with you next week.
All right, Tony. See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.